episode number 19. 19, episode 19. There we go.
Jesus Christ, can't even figure it out. Dude, honestly, we need to get fucking better at just consistency. Like, with us, yep. We need to sit down and just talk. We say it every goddamn time. It just seems like we're beating this shit out of a dead horse now, but, like...
Yeah, that horse just is needs way to fucking happen. Dead. PETA's gonna fucking hate you for that one. Jesus.
I couldn't
What did they
care.
Say? What did they say? Isn't like feed a fed horse, isn't that what they... Yeah, some shit like that. Yeah, I'm gonna feed a fed horse, because that's better than beating a dead one. Overfeeding one, yeah. There's genius. So, well... We're on the topic of 19. Let's start with this one. Connor McDavid, 19 goals in 24 games so far.
He's got this. I wouldn't say he's got the whole team on his back, but him and Draisaitl got the offense definitely on their backs.
First and third in the league in scoring. McDavid's got 43 points in 24 games, which puts him on pace for, I'm not very good at math, but over 120 way over 120. What's 24 times 3? That's 72. That would put him at 129 through 72 games. Put him on pace for probably 140. How you doing? And Draisaitl's got 38 points in 24 games. So neither one leads the league in scoring, though. Or in goal scoring, sorry. McDavid has the most points by 4. But I want to talk about this, and that's the reason I segued it to here. Jason Robertson, 22 goals in 24 games.
That was a nice little grimy pickup by you on fucking fantasy, let me tell you.
Oh, yeah. I got Robo.
Didn't you say something? God damn. Didn't you say something yesterday about that?
No, I just texted the group chat and said that Dallas is...
Oh
man, Jason
signing.
Robertson's got to be kicking himself. 7-5. He's probably like, fuck.
Dude,
I already earned 7-5.
Dude, Dallas looks like geniuses.
Oh, I know. And they didn't want to do it. That's the funny thing. It's like, guys, holy shit. Just put this into context while you're over there dying. Jason Robertson's at 39 points already. For some guys, for a lot of guys, you'll take a 40-point season. Not for Jason Robertson, obviously. But there's plenty of guys throughout the league who you say, wow, 40 points? Man, that's big. You know? That's good. That's exactly what we want.
That's exactly what they need.
So, yeah. So, for Robertson, you know, obviously I'm not saying Robertson's someone who they say, oh, 40 points and we're fine with. But for him to have 40 points basically through 24 games here – That's an incredible, incredible feat so far. And, you know, McDavid, Draisaitl, Kucherov, McKinnon, Tage Thompson, Pasternak, Crosby, Tkachuk, Carlson, and Mikko Rantanen, and then rounding out with Kirill Kaprizov are the players with over 30 points or at least 30 points. It's been quite the scoring year so far for a lot of these guys. And there's a few names up there who you're like, holy shit, I really didn't realize that Crosby's got 32 and 24.
Yeah, he does. He's playing unreal hockey. And, you know, I know we both aren't the biggest Penguin lovers. And
I'm going to say right now, no offense to any Pittsburgh Penguins fans, I fucking hate the Penguins.
But I was going to segue this into it. We know we want to put our prayers out to Chris Letang.
Oh, shit. Now I feel like a dick. God yeah. Damn. You're going to segue into that? I didn't know we were segueing into there. DB, continue.
We want to send our prayers out to Chris Letang, who suffered a stroke. He has stated that, you know, he knows when his body doesn't feel right, and he's just waiting to come back whenever that time can be. And, you know, we just wish him the safest and speediest recovery.
Yeah, I second what DB said, and you know, it's not Chris Letang's first stroke, so definitely our thoughts and prayers out to him. DB, this is when DB realizes, oh, Chris Letang had another stroke? I had no idea.
No, I knew he had one.
2014, which I think would have made him 30, maybe 28.
I think he was in his 20s because he's what, 36 right now?
He's 36, I believe.
Yeah, so he's 28.
Jeez, if we're off on the fucking numbers here, we look like a bunch of fucking idiots. But yeah, that, either way, it's real serious stuff to have two strokes before the age of 40. It's not good. So, you know, best of luck in his recovery and doing what's best for him in his future. So, but on to, you know, Pittsburgh in general and Crosby and stuff. I mean, talk about putting together just an incredible start to the year. And if he can stay healthy, I mean, we could be looking at 90 plus points for Crosby.
Realistically, I think this is the year he does it where he kind of has to, you know, not, I'd say step up because he's got the guys on his team, you know, have that depth scoring too, but, you know, just show that he is still Sid the Kid. And I feel like 90 is, you know, realistic for where he's at right now already and definitely obtainable unless if he stays healthy.
If he stays healthy and contributes at the pace that he currently is, he'd have 96 points through 72 games. So he can miss 10 games and still hit 90 if he keeps it up at the current pace. A couple other guys up here I want to talk about in the top 15 here. Tage, I want to talk about Tage Thompson. 32 points in 24 games. How are you?
Yeah, no, I expected it. I mean,
I expect him to do very well.
I didn't expect this. Okay, yeah, I didn't expect this.
But at the same time, I knew he needed it. You know,
they signed that
big extension that goes into effect next season, and they just get absolutely shit on for it. And now Tage Thompson sits sixth in the league in points. 1 point tied with Pastrnak, but he has two more games played. Thompson does. Tied with Crosby in the same amount of games played, and 1 point behind MacKinnon, but MacKinnon's got three less games played, so... Yeah, I mean that's elite company for a guy like Tage Thompson who was basically not really even the centerpiece of the O'Reilly deal. The centerpiece was almost that first round pick. So it's real good to see that.
I'm very happy seeing that, and you know, seeing Buffalo, you're seeing the Sabres as a whole piece together. And I know we've talked about the Sabres throughout the summer and everything, and just hearing your guys' opinions as Sabres fans and your family and just like people that are Sabres fans for me over the internet, people are happy, but it's just the same consistent thing. The Sabres look so hot and then they just die out. Will they ever find that spark?
Yes, they will. They will, but it's going to take there's about three things that I think. I mean, the Sabres, they held in with Colorado last night in a high scoring game.
Mm-hmm.
So the scoring isn't the issue. The forwards aren't the issue. The defense isn't necessarily the issue, but there's the two biggest issues with the team is there's no starting goaltender, no real goaltender, and there's no top-end D-pairing partner for Owen Power. I like Rasmus Dahlin, but they play with the same hand. And they're similar style guys. I'm not saying that, you know, Power can't play D or Dahlin can't play D, but they're, you know, more so of the offensive mind, you know? So.
And you want to stick a defensive defenseman or a two-way defenseman with a guy like one of them instead of just two offensive defensemen with just, you know, got the same offensive mind. You get stuck in different situations and sometimes it just doesn't work out in your favor. So, I mean, I get that to an extent, but why not try it? Unless they already are. I don't watch the Sabres like that.
They are, but it's forcing someone to play off their backhand, regardless of who it is, or on their offhand, sorry.
Okay, that makes sense. So, for an offensive defenseman, that's not, you know, ideal.
No, it's, you know, especially when you've played that side your whole life, growing up and everything, to then, you know, at 20-something years old, be told, hey, we're going to play you on your offhand. I'm sure they've done it before, but, you know, now on a hand that you don't really have all that much experience on. But yeah, the other thing, in general, you know, looking for a guy to play with someone like Owen Power, you know, you almost want a kind of like a, you know, you look at the successful teams of the past, you want a Chris Tanev, Nick Yarmolson type
player.
Yes. Not them, because, you know, Yarmolson's playing in Europe and
Yeah, yeah, I know. I get your gist.
Chris Tanev is, you know, still kicking up in Calgary, but not, you know, not someone you, not someone you want to fucking trade for, you know. He's someone that Calgary wants to hold on to, and he's playing well. And Darlene is 27 points in 23 games, too. So another cool one for you.
Well, little saves plug.
Yeah, yeah.
No, I love that. I love seeing that. Because I don't know. I always had a soft spot for Darlene. I remember people were always so pissed. Darlene's not playing up to his potential. Darlene isn't this. And then you guys got rid of Risto. And then everyone was like, wait. Over Risto, which I think was obviously the smartest choice ever. Yeah. But, like, I couldn't even believe there was a thought from some Sabres fans. Like, no, some Sabres fans, like,
were like, what?
Dead adamant is wrong with Darlene. Yep. But I think, you know, you just got to wait your course sometimes.
Yep. Now you got now you got two first overall picks playing on your back end. So that's kind of sick. So.
Yeah.
On to I want to talk about rookie scoring, and I'm not going to plug the Sabres. I mean, I'm going to mention them at some point in a minute, but we're going to start with there's been a change, and there's been a change in the last 2 weeks since we recorded with the leading rookie scorer. Matias Maselli from the Arizona Coyotes has fallen into second place. He has 15 points through 19 games. And center Matty Beniers from the Seattle Kraken has gone into number one. He has 23 games played, 21 points through those games. DB,
don't get me started, please.
Okay, all right. We're going to skip on that one. But the top – as we do this every pod, we're going to go through the top rookie scorers here. As it currently sits, it goes Beniers with 21 and 23. It goes Matias Maselli at 2, 15 points in 19 games. Cole Perfetti at 3 with 14 points in 21 games.
Wow, that makes me so mad, actually.
JJ Paterka at 4 with 13 points in 24 games. Jack Quinn tied for 5 with 12 points in 19 games, and he's tied with Fabian Zetterlund, 12 points in 19 games. And then after that, you get McTavish, Genther, Johnson, Sanderson, Pinto, Addison, Johnston, Power, and Caden Gould to round out your top 15.
Damn.
So yeah,
that makes me a little sad hearing that top three, honestly, because two of the three guys I had on my fantasy team, and I literally waiver wired them.
Oh man, that is tough. That is
no, actually, I traded Beniers. I traded Beniers.
You traded Beniers.
Wasn't it Matt Barzal? I think I traded him
for Beniers. Yeah, you traded him for Barzal. You traded him with Barzal, right? Or for Barzal?
No, I got Barzal, Hall, and
He's got Zucker. I will say Barzal is second in the league in assists behind only Nate MacKinnon. Barzal is 24.
I thought it was Kucherov.
Barzal is 24. MacKinnon is 25. MacKinnon's at number one with assists.
I forgot MacKinnon also had like a 4-point game yesterday. So
yeah, and he's only got 21 games played, so he's got less than a lot of the other guys. So he's over a assist per game.
I know.
Let's talk about goaltenders. Go through the whole league, you know. So far,
yeah, my favorite goalie carousel.
Here we got here's. I'm gonna read you the stats of the top five, and you're gonna laugh your ass off because one of these really does not belong with the others. So at first, we have Linus Ullmark, who's 13-1-0. With a 9.35 and a 2.0 goals against. Then is Logan Thompson, 12-5 with a 9.20 and a 2.54. Then you have Martin Jones, who's 12-4-2 with an 8.93 and a 2.90. Then you have Connor Hellebuck, who's 11-5-1 with a 9.31 and a 2.29. And then you have Alexander Georgiev, who's 11-3-1 with a 9.22 and a 2.58. And I could read you the next five goalies, and I'm going to do it right now because you're going to laugh even more. Then you have Vitek Vanacek, 11-2-1 with a 9.18 and a 2.24. Then you have Ilya Sorokin, who's 10-6-0 with a 9.33 and a 2.18. Then you get Shesterkin, who's 10-13 and a 2.58. Then you get Ottinger at number nine, who's 9-2-3 with a 9.23 and a 2.35. And then you get Tristan Jarry at 10, who's 9-3-3 with a 9.15 and a 2.91. Every single fucking goalie is over a 9.13 except for fucking Martin Jones, who's third most wins in the NHL right now with an 893.
Kraken just know how to put the puck in the net. That's all I gotta say.
Oh yeah, we're gonna dive into the Seattle Kraken here in a little bit. But any goalies? Oh
yeah.
Any goalies in these top 10 really stand out to you? Like who is like holy shit? What are they doing up there? Not counting Jones because he's an anomaly.
Not really. Like they all make sense. They're all on contending teams that have, you know, are winning games early in the season and are continuing to win. I'm top 10 goalie that I, you know, personally put in the list right now, maybe replaces Jones just for like maybe the better stat line. Cause I don't know his stat line off the top of my head, but I know he's definitely probably having a better season than Martin Jones. But Carter Hart, he's playing on that weak ass Flyers team.
I would kind of agree with you, and I'll tell you why in a second. Carter Hart, 7-6-4. He's got a 9-14 and a 2-8-1, which are good stats. I would put Samsonov instead, who's 7-2-0 with a 9-24 and a 2-09.
I like that. No, he's, that makes sense. Yeah,
He's only played 9 games though, because he's injured right now. But I think there's a couple goalies in the top 10 who I am just I'm not shocked because they're skilled goaltenders. It's just shocking to see them there. I'm shocked about Logan Thompson. I really am. I pumped his tires all summer, but I wasn't thinking 9-20, 12-5. You know. I'm a little bit shocked.
He's also Allmark's playing on a strong team.
He is, but he's faced 540 shots, which is some of the most on this list, and he stopped 497.
Damn.
You know, Allmark was is impressive too. He's faced about 80. He's faced 79 less shots in one less game than Thompson. So Thompson's facing a lot of fucking shots. And then Georgiev and Vitek Vanacek, they're both a little bit surprising, you know? I mean, Vanacek has only faced 401 shots through 16 games, whereas Georgiev's faced 502 through 15 games. So, I mean, New Jersey's doing a real good job of clogging the middle and not letting shots get to the net, but still, Vanacek's 11-2-1 with a 918 to 224. So, just wanted to give those guys, you know, that tire pump. And then you get, you know, the people who are here every year, Hellebuck, Sorokin, Shesterkin, Ottinger. And then at 12 and 13, you have Saros and Vasilevsky. So, yeah, I mean, talk about just some real good goaltending this season.
You're flabbergasted.
I'm flabbergasted. I am. And, you know, speaking of flabbergasted, you ready for the top 5 teams in the NHL right now?
Let's go through them.
New Jersey is first in the NHL, 19-4-1 with 39 points. Boston is second, 19-3-0 with 38 points. Vegas is third, 17-7-1 with 35 points. Toronto is tied for third, but technically in fourth due to less regulation overtime wins. They are 15-5-5 with 35 points. And then in fifth place is the Seattle Kraken, 15-5-3 with 33 points.
Hmm.
Based on point percentage, though, Seattle would be third with a 717 point percentage. Vegas and Toronto have a 700.
Damn.
So, yeah. Interesting start up in the Pacific Northwest. Any of those teams in the top 5 really shock you there?
Yeah, obviously.
Who?
Yeah. Who do you think?
We got to go with New Jersey too. That's what I'm getting at.
No, I think it was bound to happen for New Jersey way sooner than number 3 number 5 technically.
Yeah. Yeah, fair. Their face-off percentage win is 43.9 though. That's the lowest in the top 10 by like really? 4 points. Yeah, I mean Boston's is 55.8. New Jersey and Vegas is 53-1 and Toronto's 52-2 and then Dallas is fucking 56.
Damn.
That's huge. You know, that Seattle faceoff percentage is like puts them towards the bottom of the league, tied with the Avs for the worst faceoff percentage in the National Hockey League.
Jesus Christ, the Avs are down there too?
Yeah, the Avs are 13th in the league right now. They're 13th, 7-1, but only got 21 games played, so their point percentage puts them a bit higher.
Okay.
Like top 10, but worst in the league for faceoffs tied with Seattle. It's nuts.
That is crazy, actually.
So, DB, anything you really want to talk about here?
I mean, honestly,
what do you really want to get into?
Nothing pertaining the NHL. It's just, honestly, I'm liking it, like seeing how it's getting a little bit more chippy. I mentioned it to you, I think, like last week or maybe 2 weeks ago, about how I feel like there's going to be you kind of have it still to an extent, but I feel like there's going to be guys that are specifically drafted to protect the superstar players, because I feel like every team's going to get a hold of their Connor McDavid sooner than later. I feel like every team, like, this is where hockey's generational talents are going to grow up, and they're going to keep growing. They're going to be better than McDavid. They're going to be better than Bedard. It's just going to be a next step up. I mean, a little bit more time, but I feel like within the next couple of years, we might start seeing that factor kind of get like implemented back into the NHL. It's just, I feel like a way more faster and they're adding physicality. I feel like, I mean, it's sometimes you watch a boring hockey game every once in a while, but from what I've been noticing, I mean, hell, there's fights all over the place. There's nice hits. Guys are playing hockey the way it should be. They're not stepping down because the game's trying to change. They're playing the same way they should be.
I like it, and I want to agree with you really bad, and I'm gonna half agree with you, half disagree. I'm going to half agree in that I agree that it's turning towards more physicality and getting guys to protect stars. But in terms of drafting them for that sole purpose and that being their only skill, and I know that's not what
you said. Okay, no, yeah,
I know,
okay,
that's not what you said. That's not what you, but I want to emphasize that I think that we're going to get a lot of guys who are like Evander Kane in that,
yes.
In that they can bang, they can fight, they can put pucks in the net, they can put up 30 goals, 35 a year and bang. There's two guys who I'm thinking of specifically right now who I really like, who are bangers. And it's Ridly Greig in Ottawa, that he should be up here in the next couple seasons, and Brennan Othman with the Rangers. I like both of them. They can both bang. They're going to both be those kind of guys you're talking about. They'll play top 6 minutes like Tom Wilson, and they'll bang like Tom Wilson and Evander Kane and Nazem Kadri in a sense. And then they'll put up 20 plus goals.
Yeah, like that's, I think this is where the game's going to start going. You're going to need the tough guys back.
Everyone but they can also,
but they can also skate. Play now. And they, yeah, exactly. Because they have to stay, it's a lot more skilled. I would 100% agree. The league's a lot more skilled than it was back when the first enforcers were
in.
But now that I feel like the circle's coming back to a full force, these guys are obviously going to, you know, be able to put the puck in the net, be team guys, kill penalties, do whatever the hell they're going to need to do. But I really do feel like the start of, because I mean, lately we haven't been seeing a ton of prospect growth in the AHL as much as, you know, you've seen earlier. You'd get a lot of guys, like a lot of first round picks, a lot of just like, you know, I would say first through third round picks from 80s through early 2000s that spend at least 2-3 years in the minors.
Yes. I'm going to agree with you that over the last 10 years, even 5 years, 10 years, whatever, we have not seen as many guys go through the AHL. However, I think that this year and COVID has actually really changed it. You're getting guys like Jacob Pelletier, who's with Calgary, who spent a couple years in the A now. Lucas Reichel's playing in the AHL right now. He's got 19 points in 17 games. How are you? Philip Tomasino with Nashville, they're letting him develop in the AHL. Luke Evangelista, Samuel Bolduc.
That's what I'm liking. That's what I'm saying. I'm liking this. Like, we're seeing, I think organizations are starting to come back into, like, you know, a full swing. Hockey's coming back together if you're looking piece by piece.
Yeah, yeah. Dude, this is crazy. Samuel Bolduc's a point per game, basically, in the A. Connor Zary's a point per game. Marchenko's got 18 and 15. Jeez, Luke Evangelista's 17 and 19, basically a point per game. And then,
how's Ati Rahti's stats looking?
You know what? And I'm gonna do you a little favor. We pumped Buffalo a little bit earlier. We'll talk about Bridgeport.
We'll talk about Bridgeport.
You know, Aturati is what you're asking. All right, let's see here. I thought he was like, I think he's at like, yeah. He's got 8 points in 18 games.
Yeesh.
Which, give me 1 minute here, puts him at, Jordan Spence has 16 points in 17 games. Wow. Bridgeport Islanders. The Bridgeport Islanders, it puts him at, oh, Jesus, I got to keep going down on the list. He is 12th. He's 12th in the team in scoring.
I know we just called up Cole Bardreau and Hudson Fashing.
Yep, Bardreau had 9 points in 19 games. So in one more game, he had one more point than Ratty. And Fashing had 11 in 18. So he had 3 more points than Ratty in the same amount of games. But then you get Chris Terry, who's got 16 and 14. So Ratty, Ratty's going to step up a little bit. He's behind Jeff Kubiak. So that's real cool. First season in North America. I'm just fucking with the kid. You know, same thing's going on in Winnipeg with Brad Lambert. They're like,
oh yeah, I was going to say, how's he doing?
Oh, shit, we're worried. He's not, you know, I think he's got like fucking 8 points in 18 games. Speaking of points, I think we need to transition over to talking about last night's big accomplishment, big achievement. I started collecting hockey cards in 2010, I want to say.
Okay.
Around then. My first cards included a rookie set that included guys like, not quite Tav, but it was like Tav's second year in the league, Eric Carlson's third year, second year in the league, whatever, and Steven Stamkos' rookie card.
2009.
And Steven Stamkos last night.
No, 2010, recorded, you're right, 2009, you're right.
Steven Stamkos last night recorded his 1,000th point in the National Hockey League.
Oh, yeah. God damn.
Yeah.
Sarnia Sting alum.
Yep. DB. That makes us feel old. I know it makes me feel. It does.
That's what I'm saying. I'm going to like, I was thinking about this to myself. I don't know. I don't know. When I'm just delivering them fucking pizzas, bro, I think to myself about just some random ass shit. Like, I'm like, in a couple years, I'm going to look back and have to tell, like, my kids when I'm watching hockey with them.
In a couple
shit,
years.
Like,
down the line in 3 years. DB's okay, got it all planned out.
Okay. Okay. But you get my gist.
I get your gist.
Yeah. I'm going to have to tell my kids. I'm like, yeah, hockey was so much different. Like, there's so many differences. Like, all the players were different. And I'm going to not know anyone, I feel like. But then I realize, I'm like, when am I going to stop watching hockey?
I know. You'll know everybody. You'll know everybody. But you won't know. But it's not the same. Mm-hmm. You know, we know Steven. I know Steven Stamkos. I can describe him as a player to a fucking T. I can't.
But Brandon Hoffman, I couldn't tell you who the fuck. I heard him before, but when you mentioned him, I'm like, I couldn't not tell you what style player he was, what he could fucking bring to the Rangers.
I'll tell you what, he's a power forward. I'll give you that. He's a power forward who can bang and score. He just played for Team Canada at the World Juniors. But we should know this stuff because we're doing. You know, we got to get better than that. It's my goal list, but you either know about the current players, or you know about the future players, or you know a little bit about both. You know, either know nothing about a whole lot or a whole lot about nothing, you know?
So, I like that.
Yeah, that was good. You want to write that one down, bud? Yeah, but Steven Stamkos, 1,000 points.
That's
so
crazy, bro.
Yep. I remember watching him and Vinny LeCavalier, in St. Louis.
NHL Slapshot.
NHL Slapshot. Oh, yeah. I'd play as Tampa. Yep. Man. And then, you know, going from that, you know, going from playing with LeCavalier, St. Louis, Teddy Purcell, Nate Thompson, Matias Riatola. Who else can I name off that fucking roster and show my hockey knowledge? Brad Richards was gone by the point that I think Stamkos started. But
in Tampa?
With, you know, in Tampa, yeah.
Matias Olin.
Matias Olin. Fuck.
Who, oh, he might have been retired.
Eric. No, no, no. He was there. Eric Brewer. Dan Girardi was in Tampa, right? No, but Dan. Okay, then not at the beginning. And then eventually you got, you know, McDonough went through Tampa. Girardi went through Tampa. In terms of forwards, you had, fuck, you have so many fucking people. You got Kucherov who's still there. You have Palat who just left. You have just the amount of guys that this guy has gotten to play with.
Oh, 100%.
You know, it's crazy. You know, Ryan Callahan was there for a little. Yeah, just the people that went through Tampa and his line mates and who he's really, you know, whose career he's really pushed forward. You know, obviously Nikita Kucherov is a hell of a hockey player. You know, Andrej Palat's a very good player. He's injured right now, but he's going to be a real big pickup when he's back in the lineup in New Jersey. It's going to be huge. Holy fuck. But,
yeah,
you know, you look at Stamkos, and he's been the piece that's been in Tampa for that whole time through minor rebuilds, whatever, not rebuilds, but retools through that drafting process where they got guys like Vasilevsky and Kucherov later in the draft. And he's really brought all these guys to the NHL. He's been the leader. He's been the captain. He's been there in that room. So he's a huge part of that team, and I really hope that he gets to retire at Tampa Bay Lightning.
I believe he will. I think there's nothing that's going to stop him.
There was one day we didn't think so.
That's true. That is very true.
Seven, I think it's 7 years ago this past July. But seven? Would it be seven?
Was it that long?
No, it was five. It was 5 years. You know, fuck. It might. No, it was seven. Because Preds went to the Cup 5 years ago.
It's been that long since then? Damn.
Yeah, it's been 7 years, I think. No, no fucking way. It's got to be. Because then Stamkos would be up. Hang on a sec. 6 years? It's been between five and seven, but you know, you get my gist.
Jesus.
And then, you remember that day? Started out Hall for Larson, one for one. Everybody goes, holy shit, what did Edmonton just fucking do? And now everybody's like, holy shit, what did Edmonton just fucking do?
Yeah.
Lost to Leafs there. Both teams really. I don't know if there's anything left. There might be one thing left in New Jersey from when they moved him to Arizona. Yeah, Kevin Ball.
Yeah, Kevin Ball. He's playing in the NHL. He scored on the power play the other night.
Fuck me. I watched him play a couple years ago. My mom just shit on the dude. She's like, this guy can't fucking skate. Can't fucking move. This guy's dog shit. And I'm like, damn. And I thought the same thing. And now he's scoring on the fucking Preds last night. Oh well, we took away the OT dub. Smell.
You guys beat the Devils?
Yeah, we beat the Devils in OT. Pretty sure it was Johansson. Yeah, Granlund tied it with like three seconds to go. So that was nice. Nice fantasy points right there after almost trading them to you. But what was I getting at? Fuck. Oh, yeah, that day was crazy. It was Hall for Larson. 10 minutes later, it's Subban for Weber. And 20 minutes later, it's Stamkos isn't going to Toronto after all.
True. Because
that would have altered the course of that franchise. Both franchises. Tampa would never have won the Cups. Sorry, saying it now. Tampa would never have won either Cup. And
the Islanders would have won all the Cups.
The Islanders never would have lost Tav. They never would have gotten Barzal's extension done, as well as Pulak and Pelech. So one of them would have been gone. They would have had two top centers, and Toronto would have probably had a Stanley Cup.
Yeah. Yep.
Because they already had Matthews at that point, right?
2015.
Yeah.
Or?
Yeah.
We were playing together when Matt. Think about it. I remember we were going to a tournament literally.
I met Matthews. I met Matthews, and we were playing for Sun Devils still.
That's what I'm saying, because we were going to a Sun Devils tournament the night he had his debut and scored four.
I think Matthews was 16. Because think about it. I played high school at 19-20. 18-19 was Titans for me. 17-18 was my last season at Sun Devils. So it would have been 16-17. Yeah, it would have been 2016. Yep.
Because he's on the cover of 18.
Yeah, and who was 15? Was 15 McDavid? Yep.
Now 15 was Berge.
15 was who?
Berge.
I'm talking about fucking first overalls, dog.
Oh, yeah, 15 was McDavid.
15 was Bergeron. Yeah, Bergeron at 15. Jesus Christ, bud, get with it.
Yeah, Bergeron at 15, NHL 15, yeah. The cover
Bergeron
of NHL
15. Was the cover of 15. I name me the last, name me from 14 to now. No, name me from 12 to now. No, name me from 10, name me from 2010 to now.
Fuck. So we got, isn't it Kane on 10?
It's, Kane's on 10.
Stammers on 12.
Stammers on 12. I know who's on. I can tell you who's on 13. Can I go 13 and 14? We'll do Claude Giroux.
Yeah, I can't tell you 11. Claude Giroux 13, Brodeur 14, Bergie 15, McDavid 16. No, not McDavid 16.
No, Matthews 16.
Matthews isn't 16. Matthews is 18. McDavid 17.
McDavid 17. Who was 16? 2016. Who was on the cover? Oh my fucking God. DB, we got to think here. DB, we can't let the people down. Oh, 16 was.
They took the Hawks off the cover. 16, it's not. It's not Patrick Kane. It's. Is it Taves? Isn't it Taves?
It's just Taves. 16 is Taves. 17 is McDavid. 18
no,
is
17. Seven. 16's Tarasenko.
16's Tarasenko.
Oh no, 17. Fuck.
All right. I can get you the last ones. You ready? Zegras and Sarah Nurse. Hang on, I got Cho right here. I got 13. I got 12 is Stamkos. 13 is Giroux. 14 is Brodeur.
Here, I just see. I have all my covers here. I have all my covers right here. Chill out.
Yeah, I got all mine right here.
No, like I have it on my Xbox. You don't have to fucking make a giant rumble.
16 was Taves.
That was right, yeah. 16
was Taves holding the cup. 17 was Tarasenko.
18 McDavid. 19
Subban.
Subban. Oh, yeah, yeah. No, 20 Subban.
Nope, 19 Subban. 20 McDavid. Or 20 Matthews. 21 Matthews. 22 Zegras Nurse.
Yep. Okay.
Who was 11? Taves. Wasn't Taves 11? No. Ovechkin was 8. I know that.
Ovechkin was 7, dude.
Ovechkin was 7? I didn't play back then. Damn, I want to 11.
Think.
Oh, you know what? I have a computer right in front of me. Jeez, that's crazy. You know what? I'm waiting for that. When's the NCAA NHL games going to come out? Let's get those out. NHL 11 was Pat was Jonathan Taves.
You're right.
And 10 was so 10 was it was Kane in 10. Phaneuf was 9. Never would have gotten that. Eric Staal was 08.
So and then Ovechkin 7.
But I had different covers because I played the Wii growing up. So my
you played the 2K. Yeah, you had the 2Ks.
Yeah, which were arguably better features.
On the Wii, yes. I played both because I had, like, the PlayStation portables. So I had, like, the NHL games on that. So I had, like, NHL 07 on that. And then on my Wii, I had the 2K games. And I had from, like, 2K... 8 to 2K12.
11. I think 11 was the last one.
Okay, yeah, whatever the last one was.
Yeah, dude. I remember my favorite was Slapshot playing those
yeah,
junior,
I had
playing Slapshot those junior too. Teams because you'd be going back and you'd be playing junior teams like it would be like junior teams where half the fucking team was in the NHL at that point.
Think about it. Slapshot was the only EA game ever on the Wii. So you got how like you got the experience, the layout of like a
EA
Xbox.
Yeah. I definitely liked 2K in terms of interface was good for 2K, but graphics were.
Dude, now I remember the 2K lot like the
screens,
pick your teams
the
were
screens
weird.
Were sick though because you got like in franchise like in G mode you got like it was basically like almost better than the current NHL GM mode. I haven't played franchises here yet, everyone. So. Let's hold off on shitting on me for not knowing anything.
I mean, to be fair, I'm not like a guru like you about that, so I couldn't tell you.
But I'm excited. I'm excited to get my franchise done. I got a couple more overalls to do. I'm on Ontario Reign in the AHL, just making sure that, you know, guys like Akil Thomas aren't fucking elite mediums, you know?
Okay. So,
yeah, but... I'm excited about that. It also keeps me up to date with the prospects, you know? That's why I like doing it. Because I didn't really know who's, you know, who's doing well. And it kind of gives me a reason to check. That's the only reason I knew how Brad Lambert and A2 Ratty were doing. You know?
Yeah, I get that.
But yeah, there's one other thing I wanted to talk about. Well, the Bills won last night, so I know you're thinking about that.
I don't care. Either way, it wasn't going to really fucking matter in the end.
You know what? It does matter because we beat the Pats, and it's a big game.
It's a W. That's a W. The Pats, that kind of takes the Pats out of the playoff.
Yeah, dude. It's huge. Mac Jones took the Pats out of the playoffs by existing, so.
I mean, 100%.
And Cam Newton we trust. Anyway.
wow.
Do we want to talk? Nah, we'll skip the Kanye conversation. We'll talk about another piece. We'll talk about a different piece of shit. We'll talk about Jack Edwards.
Okay, ooh, yeah, man. Dude. Pat Maroon, he just I just love it. You know, he's a good guy. 50K for body shaming.
Yeah, how you doing? Like, yeah, jeez.
Like, that's some amazing work that he's getting done. And, you know, I just love Bobby Ryan poking fun about it, too. Like, I saw that tweet.
Dude, you took the words out of my mouth. I was going to say, Bobby Ryan was like, it almost was like he was defending Edwards, though. That was the part where I was like, whoa, you know?
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, Jack Edwards is just, he's a known piece of shit. He's a fucking New England, fucking Massachusetts, fucking loudmouth piece of shit.
Yeah, it's just as simple as that, but they love him over there.
It's an anti-Jack Edwards podcast. It is. We're an anti-Jack Edwards podcast.
Oh, we are. I mean, we could be. Honestly, I don't care.
We'll add him to the list.
Yeah, we'll add him to the list.
We'll make a list. I mean, accidentally, I think DB started the list in the first podcast with his comments about Dustin Brown. But Dustin Brown's not on my list, so anytime you want to come on.
Yeah, maybe I'll just, you know, take a step off for the day or something. It's only been one podcast where I've done that, but I'll take a walk.
Go take a walk in the park with some fucking Stevie Y, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Like,
do some meditation, you know?
get some meditation in when I see that jit.
Jesus. Oh, man, there's another one. I would give anything to talk to that dude for 5 minutes. Holy shit.
Steve Eiserman.
Oh, my God.
100%.
Biz is living my life on TNT right now. They all are. But, yeah, I mean, that's – talk about it. And that's – do I hear an Xbox controller?
Maybe.
I was like, I recognize that clicking from anywhere. You're using the stick. You're not using the D-pad. Yeah, but I think we covered everything. There's one more thing we'll end on. Oh, jeez, we like to end on the fucking shit notes. I'm surprised we didn't wait to end on Letang. I really thought that was going to be a little longer before we got into that. But Hockey Canada Governing Board, not Hockey Canada Governing Board, but a governing board of Canada, hockey in Canada, came out this morning. And I believe it was the officiating board. In the last year, they announced how many racially motivated suspensions / penalties. It was penalties, but how many, not just racially, but how many, what would the word be? Discriminatory penalties were given out in the last year across Canada. You ready?
Let's hear it.
512.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's one a day.
That is. Yeah, sure. We'll say that. Well, yeah, it would be one a day because it wouldn't quite be two. But yeah, that's one a day and that's one a day and four on every weekend day. No, but yeah.
That's bad.
That's bad. You look at the fucking, but then you look at the fucking Ischel lobbies when you get on Chell, and it's like the characters that some of these people are. You can think of something funny without being a piece of shit. I mean, we have the funniest fucking names throughout the whole league, I think. I think mine's hilarious. And Coleman's is good. Coleman's is Taru Tujimoto, the fake Sabres prospect from years ago. And Biela's is Ivan. And mine is Bot in the Bot. I mean, it's look at how funny you can be without.
It makes sense though for you because you just have NPC tendencies.
Yeah, exactly. I saw a video of this guy earlier, and he was like, it was on the sideline of a football game, and he was totally an NPC who got stuck in like fucking repeat mode. only doing
There's this video I saw on TikTok of this kid. He was like on this electric scooter, and he's just like literally recording. He's like, I stopped smoking for one fucking day, and I just get just like shown all the NPCs in life. And it's like just like a group, it's like a jogging group, and it's like maybe like 25 people just jogging in a line, and he's like acknowledging them and like recording them. They don't say anything until like they he just drives keep on past. Jogging.
Oh, yeah.
And then like all this shit, and then they like notice that they're like, oh, he's taking photos of us, and then he's just like, yeah, I'm taking photos of their NPC asses and all them. It was just funny as hell.
Yeah, there's a lot of
them. We live in a simulation, dude.
You ever see those videos of like something like someone's walking and then all of a sudden like either they just disappear or like the object going like near them just disappears? Shit's wild. Yeah, fun times. I think that's it. We're gonna skip out on any of the conversation from yesterday. Prayers out to Antonio Brown. I know he's going through it. I'm just fucking around.
Wow.
Oh man, I wonder whatever happened. You know, yesterday was such a crazy day. Like, Kanye just dominated everything yesterday that Antonio Brown is in a 10-hour fucking standoff with police. And nobody knows what happened. So, yeah.
I didn't know he was in a 10-hour standoff with police.
You didn't know he was in a standoff with the cops in Florida yesterday, dude? He barricaded himself in his fucking home.
I just knew he had a warrant out. That's all I knew.
Nah, dude, nah. They were sitting outside his house. He barricaded himself in his house with his fucking guns.
No shot.
Yes, yes. He wanted to see Jesus perform at Red Rocks.
Wow.
I do feel bad. I shouldn't be laughing because, you know, in Antonio Brown's case, it's a serious, serious case of fucking, I want to say CTE, but I really don't think I really think it's much fucking worse than that.
You think so?
Dude, I mean, look at everybody else who's had, look at all the other cases of CTE. Everybody else has had it, right?
Yeah.
It's resulted in less showmanism and more so it's drinking, it's drug use, it's quietly falling into this deep, deep depression, ending in your death.
Yeah.
That's how it went with Matador, it's how it went with Bugard, it's how it's gone with all those people. Rick Ripon, you know, and obviously the football aspect of it too, but I don't know the whole list of NFL player. I know there's a bunch with CTE, but there's never been someone who's been as like this as Antonio Brown is. And it's same thing Kanye's doing, same thing Kyrie's starting to do. So yeah, it's interesting. It's very interesting. But yeah, he was in a 10-hour standoff with cops in Florida.
That's crazy.
Probably wasn't even their longest standoff yesterday, so but yeah. True. We'll play some we'll end on that.
All right.
Coleman's got some games this weekend, so I'll watch those, and then we'll have him on at some point because I know he really wanted to be on when he was in town.
We got to get him on. We'll do it now. How about like we'll record?
Well, maybe, he's gonna be in town for Christmas, so around Christmas we can just get him here because he'll be in person with me.
Perfect.
And if you're we'll have to really think about it. But if you make a trip out here in the winter, we'll talk about it. All right. Well, right. We'll see you guys ideally this upcoming week because I'll drop this later. I'll drop this tonight, later today. And we'll get another one out sometime this week. We're going to work on getting a real schedule down, but, you know, it's been hectic for both of us. So
we'll get it figured out for once.
We'll figure it the fuck out and then we'll ball. So see you, everybody.